You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Lakers. I am your host, Harrison Fagan. Anthony Irwin will not be with us tonight, not gracing us with his presence, or mercifully out, depending on your viewpoint. Mine is the latter. But joining me in his place will be Trevor Lane of Lakers Nation. How's it going, Trevor?
Going pretty well, especially now that that Lakers losing streak is over. And happy to be here in place of Anthony. I don't know. He always jokes that you're at the spa, so where is he right now?
So he is, I'm not even going to make something up, because he literally took the show off to go to Universal Studios and then go out with his wife. And so I would give him a harder time about that, but I'm actually going to Disneyland with someone tomorrow and he's filling in for me. So I feel like that would be hypocritical.
So Universal Studios and Disneyland. Glad you guys are putting in all the hard work here.
Yeah, exactly. So like the Lakers Nation podcast does not take a vacation. Trevor and I are actually in the midst of a marathon recording session. We just did about like 30 minutes on your podcast, I'd say, on a bunch of Lakers topics, including LeVar Ball's comments on Luke Walton. We talked about the Lakers and like who's been playing better and how they snapped this streak. We talked about their upcoming free agency goals for this offseason and how like the losing could be affecting that and how LeVar's comments could be affecting that. So go jump over to the Lakers Nation podcast, subscribe and rate on iTunes and do all that stuff that you that we ask you to do for our podcast, and you can listen to the first half of our conversation over there. Over here on Locked On Lakers, we are going to talk about a couple things tonight. We're going to talk about Luke Walton's job security, because that's been a thing in the media over the last couple days. We're going to talk about just like his coaching in general. We're going to talk about like if the Lakers are start to turn this around, because they got the win tonight, they snapped the streak. If they do start to turn this stuff around, like what does that look like, and what does that actually mean if they're turning things around? Like what type of record, like what type of play, what do we want to see? That kind of stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's recent slump, and then we're going to finish up the show talking about the departure of Andrew Bogut and what that might mean for the team going forward. So go ahead and you can follow our show as always on iTunes, Megaphone, Panoply, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, basically wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find Locked On Lakers. So let's just get right into it. Trevor, do you think Luke Walton is going to be fired?
Yes. It's already been. No, I do not think. I mean, Jeannie Buss just tweeted the other day support for Luke Walton. I think that the Lakers organization is 100% behind Luke Walton. Yes, a 9-game losing streak does not look good. And from a fan perspective, the first thing is to always look at the coach, right? Say, oh, fire the coach. It must be the coach, because fans tend to fall in love with the players, right? Lonzo is infallible. Kyle Kuzma is infallible. These guys are amazing because these guys are the future. So much must be the coach that's doing something wrong here. It must be on the coach that things are going poorly. Right. And so the fans are going to flip on the coach before anybody else. So last year we saw Luke Walton have pretty much his grace period where everybody was excited because he wasn't Byron Scott.
Yeah. Like last year he was the future. Exactly. And so he kind of got that grace. Like everybody was talking very positive about him. Now he's not the shiny new toy anymore.
No, he's not. Now it's Kyle Kuzma. Now it's Lonzo Ball. And that's how, as we mentioned on my show just a few minutes ago, that's part of the reason why Brandon Ingram doesn't get as much publicity these days, despite having a fantastic season. He doesn't have that shiny new toy effect anymore. So people are going to be, you know, saying, oh, Luke Walton should be fired. And you know what? You can certainly criticize him. You can question some of his rotations. You can question some of the decisions that he's made out there on the floor. But ultimately, I think the Lakers organization believes in him. They believe that he is the right guy for the job, and they have reason to believe those things. And so I don't think his job is in jeopardy at this stage. I mean, ask again maybe this time next year. Maybe if things are still going poorly, maybe that's the case, or maybe something else unforeseen happens or whatever. But for right now, 9-game losing streak or not, I don't think there's anything that he really needs to worry too much about.
No, I don't think the 9-game losing streak puts his job in jeopardy. I think there's an understanding from the front office of what he was working with, the schedule that he was working against, and the amount of injuries that the Lakers had. Like, they were missing Brooke Lopez and Lonzo Ball for large portions of that stretch. And those are two of their best players and most important players and foundational players. And so I don't think that if he was going to be let go, I don't think it's because of the 9-game losing streak. I don't think that he'll be let go, to be clear, but the stuff from LeVar today where he's talking about Luke Walton starting to lose the locker room, and he's talking about LeBron James and Paul George, like Luke Walton not being the coach for those guys. And I don't know whether or not that's the case. Like, I think the jury is still out to some degree on what kind of coach Luke Walton is. I think there are positives about him. I think he gets guys to play hard for him, and I think he gets guys to buy in defensively. And then I think some of his rotations at choices you can probably question fairly. And so he's been a mixed bag. It's hard to know with this kind of roster how good of a coach somebody ultimately is. But this is the type of stuff when LeVar comes out and says stuff like this, where we talked about it on your show, it affects the perception of the way that the team is viewed around the league. And if it starts to get to the point where it's not just LeVar criticizing Luke, and it starts to seem like there are signs that maybe he has lost this locker room. And if any of that is true, then, and it certainly looked like, you know, it wouldn't totally be completely like unbelievable during that 9-game losing streak where the team just wasn't really bringing it and wasn't really executing, I don't think that it would be like shocking if he had lost the locker room. I mean, I don't think that he has. I don't think that there's any reason to believe that he has. We talked about like the positive atmosphere that's been around on your show. And so I don't think that he's lost the locker room, but if that ever, something like that ever starts to happen, I think, or if this criticism is valid and it's LeVar voicing something that he's heard from Lonzo, and like, to be clear, we can't know whether or not that's the case, but if that's what's going on here, then I think that's the only thing that ends up potentially putting Luke Walton's job in jeopardy.
Well, I mean, LeVar did say that he hadn't talked to Lonzo about any of his comments, and Lonzo said that he hadn't talked to his dad since his dad landed in Lithuania, so I don't think any of those things are coming from Lonzo. At least it doesn't appear that that's what's going on here, and so I don't think that there's a whole lot of validity behind LeVar's comments about him losing the, because I mean, I've been in the locker rooms as well, and I haven't gotten that sense. Usually there's kind of that feeling where you can tell that the players just have kind of tuned out. I don't think that's really happening here. I don't think that's what's going on at this stage. And you know what? Here's the thing about this discussion that always gets me is, we preach patience with the young players, and we talk about, you know, hey, what's Brandon Ingram going to be like in 5 years? Just give him time, give him time. And there's some people who don't. Some people jump all over his case and everything. But we say, you know, what's Lonzo going to be like in a couple of years? What Kyle Kuzma, all these guys, let's give them time to grow. This is Luke Walton's second season as a head coach. All right, I mean, he's going to get better. I think that he deserves a little bit more patience as well. And I know it's not just him. I know Lakers fans are frustrated because the team has been losing for years now, and this rebuild has been going on for a long time. And so maybe you've got a little bit of frustration being taken out on Luke that isn't really his fault. But still, I think that we need to have that kind of patience with him too, and realize that he's going to improve as a coach just as the players on the floor are improving as they grow.
Yeah, and I think that you make an interesting point about Luke and the patience that we need to show with him, and I want to talk a little bit more about that kind of improvement that the team needs to show in a second. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the Lakers, they snapped that losing streak tonight, and you know, the team looked better. We talked about this. Like, it looked like there were some things that they can carry forward. Their defense looked better just in general, and it got better results. Their fast break, when they weren't just throwing horrible off-target lob passes, looked pretty good as they compiled their most fast break points since 2001. But obviously, that level of dominance that they showed against the Hawks is not sustainable for this entire year. And it's not something that they're going to be able to keep up. And I don't even think that they're going to get back to the level that they showed when they were like an 8-13 team going into December. So like, if the Lakers are going to turn it around and Luke Walton is going to show that this team is showing growth and things like that, what does that kind of functionally mean? What does that growth look like to you? Like, what do you want to see from – what to you with this team constitutes growth?
I mean, I think there's a few things that you have to look at or that you'd be looking for. It's not necessarily wins or losses, but you would like to see them pick up some wins. I think that for Luke, it means figuring out his rotations, consistent rotations, assuming everyone is healthy. If everyone is healthy, settling guys into two roles. You also want to see a little bit of creativity with some of the plays that he calls and some of the sets that he runs and things like that. As far as the team goes, I think that you want to see them putting in effort. That's something that we saw them lose a little bit during this 9-game losing streak. We saw them lose that effort, so you want to see consistent.
Yeah, and
effort.
I think like more. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think just more damningly, you saw them admit to that and criticize each other for that. Like, it's one thing to just for us to say like, okay, maybe it doesn't look like they're trying that hard. It's another thing for them to accuse each other of not trying that hard, which was, I think, a pretty bad look for the team.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's completely unacceptable. That's not something that can stand. So you want them to show effort every single night, because here's the thing, like against the Hawks, their shooting percentages were through the roof. I think they were, it was about 10% higher than their season average, both from three and from overall on their field goal percentage. So
yeah, they shot 44.4% from three. Just for like some context on the year, I believe they're still the worst three-point shoot. Yeah, they're shooting 31.7. They're the worst three-point shooting team in the league.
Yeah, so this was, I mean, definitely not a sustainable output. But on the defensive end, you can be a little bit more consistent, right? Effort can be there. You're going to have off nights. You're going to have nights where guys just make shots and everything. But as long as that effort is there, because against the Hawks, we saw guys making the extra rotation. We saw guys taking the extra step to close out. We saw guys reading what was going to happen before it took place. I saw Josh Hart make a few good plays like that where he just read what was going to take place and he made the correct decision. Now, against the Hawks, maybe that comes a little bit easier than against some other teams in the league. But still, you want to see that consistent effort on the defensive end. You want to see them get out and run, right? That was the identity that Magic Johnson talked about forming, a team that's going to play tough defense and then they're going to get out and run and really get at you. And so you want to see that continuing to happen. And the other thing that I'd like to see that we understandably didn't see during the losing streak, but I think would be a good thing for this team and a good thing for their prospects in free agency, is if we see them have fun. You know, we saw them fast breaking like crazy against the Hawks. It looked like they were having fun out there. Lonzo is flinging these inch perfect passes and all this. That's the kind of Lakers team that fans were sold on, fans were promised over the summer. So I think if they do that, add that to the equation as well, then you can consider it a successful season, even if they don't necessarily win all that many games.
Yeah, you just want to see that consistent buy-in, I think, on defense, especially, because they were never going to be, like, you know, a top 10 defense all year. But during December, they were the 27th ranked defense. And I know that they played a more difficult schedule that month, but that's the type of thing that just – the mindset has to be that that's not acceptable. And – like, you can get there and still, like, just be a bad defensive team, but I think that they show that they have the capability to be at least league average, and you just need to see that consistently. And I think tonight they started to get back to those habits. I think having Brook Lopez back out there is going to help, because he does, like, some rim protection things and kind of cleans up the rotation a little bit. There are less guys playing that really shouldn't be playing, like Andrew Bogut, who is also gone now. But I just think that we saw a return to the effort and the buy-in that we saw earlier this season tonight.
Well, and I think that we should mention, too, that a league average defense, right? I mean, like, that might be a little bit of a letdown to fans who are like, oh, they're top five in defense right now, which we were saying a month ago or a little over a month ago. Or, hey, they're in the top 10 in defensive rating. Yes, this is awesome, right? And that was great. But think about where they were last year. Right, a league average defense for this team would be
after like
phenomenal.
3 years in a row of the worst defense in the league.
Yeah, that kind of improvement. If let's say they finish the season at 15th, I would be ecstatic with that. I think you would absolutely have to accept that, given that they were 30th last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, I don't know that either of us even expected them to take as many steps forward as they did on the defensive end, but now that they've shown that they can do it, like, that's the type of progress that you want to see, and that's where you want to see these guys buying in, because ultimately, like, this is a cliche, but defense wins championships. And like, you have to, you don't have to be the best defense in the league, but generally history has shown you have to have like a top five offense and like a top five, top 10 defense if you want to be considered a real title contender in the NBA. And being 15th with a roster full of young players that are only going to get better on that end is, I think, a positive step in the right direction for that. And so we're going to take a quick break here, but after that, I want to talk about one of the veterans on this team and kind of how he's been hurting the team a little bit defensively at times, in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So we're going to talk about him here in a second. Okay, so the big news of the weekend was KCP is KC free. He is out. His jail sentence is done, and he is able to travel with the Lakers again. And he did play, I think, better tonight than he has in a couple weeks. And I don't want to psychoanalyze too much on like whether that had to do with him being, you know, free now. And I think that there are like obvious things to draw from that. But overall, like, other than tonight, over the last couple weeks, he's been pretty brutal. And he's also had a really, really long leash. And I don't know, I'm just wondering, it goes back to the free agency stuff, but I like, there's been all this talk made of the Lakers are trying to please Rich Paul, who, because he's LeBron's agent, and that's, they're trying to do that with KCP. But how much is just letting this guy come in? Like, it's Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, he's an average player, but he's nothing that special. And you're letting him basically come in and like have the longest leash on the team and make these terrible shot selection decisions. And like, the lob off the shot clock was like one of the worst plays I've ever seen in an NBA game. And he's just, for lack of a better term, been wilding out there. And I just don't know that that's really, that kind of fuels that circus perception that we were talking about, I think.
Well, you know what, you mentioned that his defense hasn't been as good lately. I think at the beginning of the season, and by the way, you're 100% on the money about that shot clock thing. That was amazingly horrible.
I was at that game and I could not believe that I had just witnessed what I saw.
It was incredible. That was just absolutely amazing. I mean, that was Shaqt in a fool gold, right? I mean, that's unforgettable. But anyway, to my point here, to start the season, his offense was, and this was his MO coming in from Detroit, was that his offense wasn't going to be good, but that his defense basically made up for it. And that was kind of what we got at the beginning of the season. We saw, instead of the chase down block, we saw KCP a number of times get the chase down steal, where guys would think that they were totally open and they were going to just rise up and dunk a ball. And there's KCP right as the guy gathers, slapping the ball out of his hands from behind. And so that was something that he was pretty good at. He was pretty good at his on-ball defense. Not great, but decent. And his off-ball defense was probably not as good, but he was at least a positive, I felt, on the defensive end at the beginning of the season. And then that slipped. And whether that was part of the whole issue going on with the court thing or not, if that slips, if his defense goes away, then his offense becomes a lot less tolerable. It's not something that you can deal with, because, I mean, he's not making up for it on either end of the court. So it's going to be really important for him to play solid defense and get back to the kind of the bulldog that people thought he was going to be. And then if he can just start hitting threes at a little bit higher rate, I think that's the best thing you can ask for. We would love it if he was a little bit choosier with his shot selection. I think another factor that we have to look at here is that people are frustrated with him because now there is a legitimate replacement, right? When KCP was not doing well, say he struggled at the very start of the season, it was hard to find a replacement for him, right? I mean, when he was out the very first game, the Lakers turned to Luol Deng, right? He got his only 13 minutes of the season. But now we have had Josh Hart come on. And so fans and coaches and everybody are seeing Josh Hart do well. And so when KCP doesn't play as well, they're saying, well, he needs to have a shorter leash because, look, Josh Hart will come in and will do those things that KCP isn't doing right now.
Yeah, and he also has it's not that he's necessarily a better player than KCP yet, but he has the shiny new toy thing about him because he is a rookie, and he's been a very promising rookie. And I think that the Lakers have an incredible draft class this season, and absolutely, he should absolutely be getting more minutes. And there's no reason that KCP should not have his minutes cut by like three or four a game just to get Josh Hart a little bit more burn. And I just think, like, I was talking with somebody around the team about this when I was at their last game, and it's just like KCP, he looks like a good defender and he does some good on ball stuff, but lately his off ball decision making has just been atrocious. Like, he lets guys just backdoor him all the time. And I just think, like, if you're a young team, and this is like a Luke Walton thing, this goes back to how can he show improvement as a coach, you have to send a even though KCP is a veteran, you have to send, maybe even more so because he's a veteran, you have to send a message to the young guys that, like, stuff like that is not going to be tolerable. And I don't know what the Lakers film sessions look like, but you would think that that stuff would be pretty blatant and pretty easy to call out when they're doing this stuff. And that's the type of thing where, you know, we're starting to see his minutes get cut a little bit. And I'm thinking that that might be why, as much as Hart playing well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, and can we even call, I guess KCP is a veteran, but he's only got, what, 4 years in the league.
I don't know. I remember the awkward moment when they were joking about him being a veteran at his introductory press conference. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Lakers, on this team, he's a veteran.
Wasn't his introductory press conference one giant awkward moment?
Yeah, that's true. He's bred from heaven, Trevor.
That's right. Oh, God.
Oh, man. I'm done talking about KCP. I don't know. Like, we'll see if he can continue how he played against the Hawks moving forward. It would certainly make the Lakers a more watchable team and a less frustrating team to watch. But, you know, ultimately, at some point, the Lakers have to kind of call him out on this stuff. And I think that maybe we started to see the start of that tonight when he only played 23 minutes, and he's been playing a lot more than that this season. And, you know, we saw Josh Hart get – how many minutes did Josh Hart end up getting? 20. So I think that that's like a more sustainable shooting guard minutes distribution moving forward. But I think the other – minutes thing that I wanted to talk about was the Lakers made the somewhat surprising, not like shocking, but somewhat surprising to move on a decision to move on from Andrew Bogut. And he was a guy that Luke Walton had been using to sop up minutes at times, especially while Brook Lopez was out. Bogut played 216 minutes this season. That's around middle on the team. And I don't know, what do you think that this means for the team moving forward? Would you say that this means Luke Walton goes to just like a shorter rotation more often? Or do you think that we actually start to see Zoo and Thomas Bryant a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think that when they added Bogut, it was a little bit of a head scratcher at first. I mean, I get it. Right? I mean, he's a veteran and all that, and you need veterans around this team. But it was still kind of an awkward fit given what they want to do. And so I think that it's going to depend on the situation. If the team is rolling, then I think you're going to see a shorter rotation. If they're doing well, if the game is close, then the rotation is probably going to be fairly short. You're not going to see guys getting very many minutes. Maybe they end up, you know, maybe Luke realized that, hey, Nance, Randall, and Brook Lopez can just be a three-headed monster at power forward and center, and then all three of them can get the minutes that I'd like to see them get, and we don't have to worry too much about not playing them enough because we're not giving minutes to Bogut or whoever this kind of token center is behind Brook Lopez. So we may see that come into play. But at the same time, I think that especially in games where it's pretty clear the Lakers can't hang, like if they're going up against, say, the Warriors and they're getting blown out or whatever, I think it gives him a little bit of an opportunity to put in Zubats, to put in Thomas Bryant, to give these guys a look. It feels like part of this move is the Lakers understanding that Bogut is going to want to be with a contending team, and so they're doing him a favor by cutting him loose and letting him go search out there for other options. And then the other part of it is the Lakers understanding that they are not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make that push for the eighth seed, so you might as well get a look at Zubats. You might as well get a look at Thomas Bryant and find out what you've got in them, because this summer cap space is going to be very tight. And it's possible that it comes down to a decision of one or the other.
Yeah, that second part is, I think, the bigger thing to me, that it's, you know, the Lakers are not making the playoffs. They have the fourth worst record in the league still, even after this win tonight. They have the second worst record in the Western Conference. They aren't making the playoffs. That dream is dead. And Yeah, and that's fine. And that should never have been expected for this team going into this year with this roster. But what they can do is if they start to get some of these young guys some minutes and they look like a fun team and they look like they're making progress, that, again, it goes back to that perception thing where the young, fun Lakers are a much more exciting team to join, like, prospect-wise than the disappointing, veteran-laden, frustrated, like, quitting on Luke, LeVar's criticizing him Lakers. You know, like, it's all about changing that narrative. And that's something that, you know, Rob Pelinka constantly talks about. He's a storyteller. And if he wants to, you know, tell the best story to free agents, then the Lakers really have to kind of do what they can to get these young guys out there on the floor and show that they have a bright future.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look at what Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka can say right now in free agency meetings, right? They can say, look, we've got Lonzo Ball. He's going to pass you the ball exactly where you want it every single time. We've got Kyle Kuzma, who is way better than anybody expected. We saw that. Nobody else did. We're smarter than the other franchises in this way. Our scouting was so good. Josh Hart, nobody else picked up on him. We got him. He's the perfect type of role player. And then if you throw in like Thomas Bryant, right, they can say, look at this kid that we found in the second round. He can block shots, he can protect the rim, and he can shoot threes. Right, that's the kind of stuff that you can build excitement off of. Like a guy like LeBron or Paul George is thinking, man, I can drive into the paint, and whether Brook Lopez is around or not, they've got this other kid that's going to be out there pulling the center out because he can shoot threes and he can protect the rim too. So I'm going to have a good defense behind me. You know, that's the kind of stuff where Thomas Bryant may not be there yet, but he's got that kind of potential, and you can get excited about it. And I think that's something that Rob Pelinka is good at, and Magic Johnson as well, is building that excitement. So, yeah, that's absolutely right.
And it's like they can say, hey, like, think about, like, these guys looked like this without you. Think about how good they'll look with you. And think about as you decline in your career, because that's going to come eventually. Well, I don't know. Maybe LeBron is an indestructible cyborg. But working under the somewhat implausible theory that he will eventually decline, then – you know, the front office saying, hey, we can use these late picks and still find guys that can help you, and we can find them cheap, and that will allow us to add more veterans and more productive role players like around you that kind of fit perfectly and are able to, you know, carry you at points. And I think that that is a somewhat appealing argument to make to these guys.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Think that that's going to be definitely part of their selling point that, hey, you know what, we may not have a ton of success on the floor in recent years, but we sure can make our draft picks, and that's going to be a factor because we're going to be able to find talent to put around you. Even if it's late in the draft, we're confident that we're the team that can find people that are going to be productive, even if it's towards the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, whatever. We can still get that job done.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I think that about does it for this episode of Locked On Lakers. There wasn't a whole lot more that I wanted to discuss. So, Trevor, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. Do you have anything upcoming that you want to plug? Any editorials for Lakers Nation? Want to plug anything coming up on the podcast? Anything like that?
Yeah, actually, I just turned in something for Lakers Nation where I've been trying to limit my editorials to, like, you know, about 700 to 900 words or so. This one, I went old school. This is what I used to do way back in the day, and I think I wrote like 2,200 words on this one because I talked about the Lakers' free agency plans and what they need to do cap space-wise in order to get to where they want to be. And then I got into some Jordan Clarkson trades because I don't see how the Lakers are going to hang on to him. I think that they're gonna move him, and so I took a hard look at the league to see what contracts are out there and went in detail into where he could realistically go at the trade deadline. So that's going to be coming out soon on LakersNation.com.
All right. Well, everybody keep an eye out for that, and as well as the Lakers Nation podcast. I was on the first half of this crossover kind of like tag team episode set is on Lakers Nation. Trevor and I talked about a bunch of Lakers topics. I talked about that at the beginning. So go check out that podcast. Check out Trevor and my written work at Lakers Nation. I will not be on the podcast tomorrow, and I will also not be on the podcast on Tuesday. I will be filling in for Serena again at Staples Center, and so I will be there, and so keep an eye out for whatever I write from that. If you if you want to, I've been working with some video stuff, so we'll see if I go on camera and embarrass myself again. But again, Trevor, thank you for coming on the show. And everybody, just remember, you can find both of our shows on iTunes. And then I think this is where we differ, but for Lockdown Lakers, you can find our show on Spotify, Megaphone, Panoply, all of those places. Anthony will be back with a guest, with guests the next 2 days, pretty special guests, actually. So look forward to those episodes. Subscribe, give us a review, leave those questions in the reviews. Anthony loves to get to those. And I will talk to you guys on the other side.